Father, we give you the praise. Thank you for heeding the cry of your people. Thank you for this pre-convention Sunday service. Thank you for visitations already. Thank you for encounters. Thank you for help and mercy. Be glorified. Be honored, be adored. And thank you even for clarity of direction. Thank you for the things you are about to speak to us. Be glorified, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. I welcome everyone here today. I believe that we have had some visitations already. And I knew that the way in which this conference was coming, the eagerness, the pressure with which people came, that something very, very drastic will be happening. The convention is to start on Tuesday, but something will happen tomorrow evening, so I will announce it ahead of time. I'm going to speak very sharply and then still get out of the way so we can go into this, proceed into this climate until the end of the first service. Pathways to divine direction. Taking charge by the force, by the power of divine direction is what this month is all about. What are the ways? Our objective this morning is to understand, first of all, understanding the attitude and climate for divine direction. The attitude, the climate for divine direction. And secondly, we shall understand the ways of divine direction. One of the greatest assets of life is direction. Psalm 32 and in verse 8 and in verse 9, he said, I will instruct you, I will teach you in the way which thou should go. I will guide you with my eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. They have no direction, no guide. So their mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near you. Their mouth must be closed, because they have not heard. Nobody is permitted to hear the man who has not heard God. They are held with ropes. The absence of direction is the abundance of detention. They are held. Their lives are held down. We don't live where we are until we know what to do, until we know where to go. Very, very important. Their mouths must be held. No sound. So it's very, very critical. But he gave us a promise already. I will instruct thee and keep thee in the way which thou shalt go. And teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. However, there is an attitude, a climate that guarantees direction. The same way now that we have several FM stations going on right now, Radio Nigeria and all of them, you can't hear them because we haven't tuned to hear them. What climate or attitude do I possess in order to make divine hearing possible? Number one is the attitude of meekness. The attitude of meekness. Psalm 25 and in verse 9. Psalm 25 and in verse 9. He said, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way. Guidance is at the mercy of meekness. The meeker you are, the more guided you get, you become. It's at the mercy. Meekness is agreement with the agreement, agreeing that you are ignorant, accepting that you don't know, refusing to prove that you know. Knowest thou not what this be? I don't know, Lord. When people assume that they know, that is why arrogance is the twin of ignorance. Everyone who is arrogant must be ignorant. Meekness. Openness to hear, to learn. The first attitude is the attitude of meekness. Number two is the decision to hear. That is being intentional. Psalm 85 and in verse 8 said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I will hear. I have decided to hear. I won't be passive about the matter. I won't be passive. There is an element of intentionality, being intentional. There is an element of being deliberate in hearing. There are times that God speaks on his own. On his own, that is, he comes to talk to you on his own. And there are times you provoke the hearing. The decision to hear. Number three is the climate of joy and praise. In 2 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 15, they brought a minstrel, and as a minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he prophesied and said, thus hear the Lord, which means he heard the Lord. We read that already throughout the course of the month, Isaiah chapter 30 and in verse 29, you shall have a song as in the night, when the holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth to the pipe to come to the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. That's a climate of praise and joy. Number four is the action of submission to godly instruction. The action of submission to godly instruction. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20 and 21. It said, And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. Don't be disconnected from your teachers, irrespective of what you pass through. Don't let any calamity or adversity make you run from church. Don't let anything disconnect you from hearing, from instruction. Instead of running from instruction, run to instruction. I'm not true. He said, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind the saying. This is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. So God speaks in the voice of your teachers. He speaks through the voice of your instructors. If only you can agree to be in touch. There are times you are listening to a CD, a tape message. You are listening to a preach message, even right in the course of the service. While you are in the course of hearing, God is speaking. At times, what the preacher is preaching is a bit different from what you are hearing from the same message. Many instances. If you can only agree to be in touch with the voice of your God-ordained teachers, it makes direction cheap. God spoke in the voice of Eli to Samuel. Until Samuel ran and said, I heard your voice. Say, no, it's not me you are hearing. Next time you hear, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. And he lay down. And then God began to speak to him. That's why I said, you should not remove your teachers into a corner. don't decide to just be an island to yourself without instruction. We have a lot of confusion in our generation because many are lost to themselves, submitted to no instruction. These climates are very, very critical. If we are interested in hearing the voice of God. I add one more to the service today, and that is the action of watching in the midnight. The night season is a season of spiritual transmission. He said, you shall have a song as in the night. When the holy solemnity is kept in the night, then the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. There are times you have to sit up in the night for the purpose of direction. Be awake at the night. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 19, 20. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. As he has stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us in the night. Night time is nice time when it comes to spiritual signals transmission. Don't use the whole night to sleep, especially as it borders on strategic direction. So we have looked at five of them, the attitude of meekness, the decision to hear, the climate of joy and praise, the action of submission to godly instruction, and the action of watching in the midnight. We'll look at five more in the second service. And all of these climates are important. So just be watchful in the second service as we look at the action and attitude of inquiry in the second service. And we will also be looking at the action of deliberate listening, just listening. And then we'll be looking at also the climate of stillness and calmness. And then we shall be looking at saturation with the word and the climate of fasting as it borders to instruction. We'll look at all of that in the second service in addition to what we have seen so far. But going forward, what are the ways in which I can access the voice of God? What are the ways? Number one is the voice from the word. The word. Psalm 29 and in verse 3, the Bible said, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. What is the water? Ephesians 5:26. He said that he might sanctify them with the washing of the water by the word. So the water is the word. The voice of the Lord is on top of the word. We call it the voice in the verse. There is the voice in the verse. There is the spirit behind the letter. There is the spirit behind the letter. It is when we follow to know that we shall know. Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know. That is, you come across a particular passage at a particular situation of your life, and it was as if that passage was written with you in mind, with your particular experience in mind, with what you are currently going through in mind. It spoke so straight. It happens that way. Other ways in which it happens is while you are reading the scripture, Lord, what are you saying here? What do you want me to hear from what I'm saying? And until questions are asked, answers are not given. They say, this is what I am saying. I am saying to you, do this, do that. This is what this word is saying. So there is the voice of God from the word of God. And I speak to somebody here today, that voice is coming for you right now. I tell people, occasionally, sometimes when you are praying, direction or whatever it is, a verse of scripture, one verse, might just drop. Like the verse I just read now, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which thou should go. I will guide you with my eyes. You don't know where that passage is, look for it. Check for it, type it, concordance, whatever it is. You know the quotation, but you don't know Psalm what verse what. You look for that Psalm. Now, when you go to that Psalm, don't just read that verse. Read everything in context. Start from verse 1. Come across it, go all the way. In the perimeter of that verse, there is instruction. In the perimeter. There is direction in that environment. Either that particular verse directly, or the paraverses, you will be shocked. At times, the verse that dropped in your spirit is only a pointer to where God was. It's just like the arrow. It's like the signboard by the road. The signboard is not a venue. He's taking you to the venue. So at times that verse is a pointer to where he wants you to go. He's directing you somewhere. I'm talking from experience. I thought that the verse that dropped was the verse until I went and saw heavier matters. This instruction is meant to be practical, and I believe that between now and the next 24 hours, God is going to do something in somebody's life that is going to radicalize you completely. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Number two is the voice of God from the Spirit, where the Spirit of God is speaking. Different people have different modes. At times it appears audible. At times you turn and see somebody said something and you couldn't find any person. At times it is within. At times it interrupted your thought flow. You were not the one thinking. It just busted out of it. I'll talk about that more in the second service. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse, alright, before then, Romans chapter 8 verse 14, the Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Spirit of God leads the sons of God. That is confirmed. The Spirit of God leads the sons of God. It guides the sons of God, or the children of God. Now, in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 20, we saw how Philip, 29, how Philip was led. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, so the Spirit speaks, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Speaks. Again, like I said, you could hear it here audibly. You could hear it internally. You could hear it like it, as if it flowed in the midst of the talk. Whatever you were thinking of was different. And all of a sudden, this busted out very forceful, very sharp. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, we also saw the situation. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the whole work where I have called them. So the Holy Ghost speaks. And of course, you can get more of the activity of the Holy Ghost speaking as you exercise in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. As you exercise in the Holy Ghost, it becomes clearer. So the voice of God from the Word, number two, the voice of God from the Spirit, number three, the voice of God from the inner witness, inward witness. The voice of God from the inward witness. This is the realm that is popularly referred to as knowing. Knowing. Perception. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 20. It says, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know. It didn't say you heard. It didn't say you saw. It said you know. This is the realm that literally bypasses the hearing and the seeing. And just an instant impartation of information. In Mark chapter 9, if you look at from verse 1 to verse 6, long reading, the Bible speaking, he said, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, okay, go towards Matthew 9 rather. Okay, I think I have, alright, just jump there and let's move to Mark chapter 2, verse 6 to verse 8. Mark 2, 6 to 8. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. I'm going on to verse 8, all the way to 7 and 8. Who is this that can forgive sin? Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? He said, and immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit, it wasn't like he heard or saw anything. There was a perception, a knowing. He said unto them, why reason ye in your hearts? He perceived, he knew. Like Kenneth Hagin used to say, you know in your knower. You hear with your ears, you see with your eyes, but you know with your knower. Hallelujah. In John chapter 13 and in verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands at this point, and that he was gone from God and went to God, he knew. So severally, that's why the challenge is with most of us. Suddenly you felt that this person that is around you is not a friend, is not a good person. But because you didn't dream any dream, you didn't hear any voice, you didn't receive any prophecy, you are still managing yourselves until calamity happens. God speaks to you. For me, some people think until you saw the vision or you heard the voice, God has not spoken. What I got to realize is, the purpose of the hearing is to know. The purpose of the seeing is to know. So God decided to bypass seeing and hearing and went straight. I have walked in that very abundantly and plentifully. Diverse non-verbal instructions. He said, I will guide you with my eye, not necessarily with my voice. Not necessarily with my visions. I will guide you with my eye. There are things I will use to talk to you. So the next time you began to... Women have a lot of this thing they call intuition. Say, this man is not a good friend though. They are telling their husband. The husband say, did you see anything? Nothing. Did you hear anything? Nothing. How do you know? I know. And then some men play with it to their detriment. They play with it to their detriment. At times the baby is crying. Mother is not near, but the breast is flowing. And he has to run towards where the baby is. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the name of Jesus, from this moment forward, you will not miss direction another time. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. So when you begin to know some things, please take your seat. When you begin to know some things, press in prayer in case you are in doubt. God might use other means to confirm that what you are feeling and knowing is accurate. Perceived. I perceive. Number four is the voice of God from visions, revelations, and trances. Visions, revelations, and trances. This is the one that is a little bit more spiritual to some people. Visions, revelations, and trances. Visions. We don't have the time to talk about open vision. Your eyes are open. You are not, it's not closed. But you are seen into the spirit realm. That's open vision. Eyes are open. Did like this. You are still seeing. With your eyes open, you saw an angel. That's open vision. Your eyes closed, that's a closed vision. You are in between sleep and awake. You are not unconscious. But you are not fully conscious. And you are seeing something that's like a trance. There's something I call the sleep or awake junction. That junction is very important. We see a lot of things. Do you understand what I'm saying? At times when you finish praying and you are exhausted, you are about to drift into sleep. You have not fully slept. That junction is critical. In those days, like 25 years ago, I deliberately used to put myself in that junction. That is, I finish praying exhausted, just lie down. Quietened. Plenty. At times, within a few seconds, like 4 or 5 revelations. A few minutes. All downloaded at the same time. And it's as if they all happened together. And you still remember all of them one by one individually. Hallelujah. So that is visions, revelations, and trances. Now, I now separated it. All right. Look at Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. Joel 2, 28 to 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And so that's visions, revelations, trances. I separated it deliberately from number 5, which is the voice of God through dreams. I separated dreams from these ones because dreams have multiple sources. Okay, so we have the dream that we just saw read now in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29, where we saw all the sons and daughters prophesying and so forth. There also we see the dreaming of dreams. But dreams have multiple sources. First of all, the dream can come from a person. 3 sources at least. Dream can come from self. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 3. The Bible says, in the multitude of business, cometh dream. If you think about something for a long time, you can dream about it. Those trying to get married, you think about a particular man or a particular woman for a long time, you can dream about them. And that may not be taken as a direction. That dream came from your thoughts. Right? If you watch bad movies too much, you will dream bad dreams. Also, the dream can come from the enemy. First from self, from the enemy. In Job 7:14, I'm sure you remember that Job thought that every problem he had came from God. The same thing Job was thinking, that the dreams he was having came from God. So he said, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. The scaring and the terrification does not give us the spirit of fear. The fear and the terror definitely comes from Satan the devil. So that was the realm. But Job again distinguished it from the third source, which is God, from self, from the enemy, from God. Job 33, verse 14 to 17. I like the sound to help my voice. Don't give me too much bars. The week is just starting. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, God is speaking once, he is speaking twice, man is not hearing. In a dream, that is why it's not good to dream and forget it. Good or bad, it's important to remember it. If it's a bad dream, it's possible the devil wants to do something and he's showing it and you are not aware. It's a good dream, God is giving a direction, also you are not aware. In a dream of the night, yet man perceiveth it not. When deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. So he can withdraw man from his purpose. What you think is the right way that you are trying to follow, God wants to pull you. He wants to use a dream to show you that that marriage is damaged. And hide pride from man. Take you from your arrogance. Next verse. He keepeth back his soul from the pit through the dream still, and his life from perishing by the sword. So the question is, what I saw in the night, what is the source? Is it God? Is it the devil? Is it me? Or if it is self, discard it. If it is the devil, trash it. If it is God, establish it. Hallelujah. So that was why I put dream on his own. Even though visions and revelations can come from the enemy as well, but the dream is the worst one. It is very difficult to generate a vision because you thought of something. Okay, but for the dreams, that can happen. And it is important that we know that. So that is the dream. Finally, okay, one more, two more. The next is the voice of God through prophetic releases, where God spoke through somebody and you heard it to you. Acts 21, 3 to 4. Acts 21, 3 to 4. Verse 4. And finding, okay, let's read verse 3 and 4. And finding this. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there, the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem? These were disciples. They were not up to the level of Paul, but they were speaking by the Spirit and telling Paul that certain damages were waiting for him in Jerusalem. What they said was confirmed because Paul stubbornly went. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I am not ready only to go to Jerusalem. I'm going there to suffer. Paul took himself to Jerusalem. He suffered. So in fact, one time he said, I am ready to die. If I go to Jerusalem, I die. It doesn't matter. Now, when death came, because about 40 men vowed that they wouldn't drink water until they kill Paul, his brother saw ahead of it and came and told Paul. Paul said, really? Go and tell the commander. Tell the commander what you... Don't tell another person. Paul, death came. He didn't want to die anymore. Paul scraped his head. Paul passed through untold suffering. God ordained him an apostle to the Gentiles. He wanted to preach to the Jews by force. We'll leave that for another day. But the reason why I brought this up is that prophetic direction is one of the ways, but what is very critical about prophetic direction is that it is meant to come as a confirmation, not a basic form of direction. Don't hand over your destiny to any prophet to tell you what to eat, what to wear. See road clear for me, I want travel. That is more like native doctorism. Don't let any... Somebody was going for business and a prophetic word came along the road, on the road already, to a big major, said, don't say the Lord, you are not meant to do that business. The money this person had gathered for the business or borrowed or something, squandered it. It was a setback of almost 20 years from one misdirection. I wouldn't be married to my wife now if I followed a prophetic word. Because somebody saw another person for me. He said, I saw it very clearly. Very clearly. Very, very clearly. As clear as I know myself. That God said, this is the person. And the person he was advertising wasn't a carnal Christian. Highly spiritual sister. With visions and revelations. But she wasn't the right person. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I was to move by the physical, okay, the person is truly spiritual. I won't be here, maybe. I'm sure I won't be. Now, I believe the person and I love him. But for that time, that prophetic word was an error. I have met a man who I can say is 99% prophetically accurate. It's no more. It's past. Lived in a town. But we met maybe 35 years ago. 99.9% prophetically accurate, I can say. But he gave me a word that was not true. He said, God said I should do this. While he was talking, I was aware that God didn't say I should do that. I didn't fault him. He was telling me to carry out a procedure that was not script, that my depth of insight in word didn't allow it. So that's what I'm saying. Not that the people Samuel missed it. When Samuel, whose word didn't fall to the ground, he saw Eliab, he said, behold the Lord's anointed. And God said, Mechonu. You have not missed anyone, but you missed this one. He saw Eliab, he said, okay, this is the one. God said, you fail again. He saw Shammah, he said, surely he's the one. He said, what is wrong with you? Calm down. The frequency of your message of this matter is getting too much. I say, when you go to the house of what's the father's name? Jesse, I will show you the person. Have you asked me who it is? You are just talking. I will show you what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me whom my name. When you read there, ask me the name. I will tell you the name of the person. Now you come and start talking. This is the Lord's anointed. Did I name him? That is how we miss it. That is how we miss it in life. This is for another matter. We should be ready for this conference. So, do you understand what I'm talking about? So, I am making this appeal that even though it is one of the ways that God leads, don't hand over your life to anybody, no matter how prophetic. There is a possibility of message that is missed. Message. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace not to miss it. I receive the grace for accuracy in the name of Jesus. Finally, number 7 is the voice of God in circumstances. Now, these are some of the ways that many people miss, but it is there. God speaking through circumstances and situations. For example, in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1, all the way to verse 6, he said, the word of the Lord, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, I'm reading all the way to verse 6. Arise and go down to the potter's house. And while you are there with the potter, what the potter is doing, I will make you hear something. And there I will make you hear my voice. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, say, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The meaning of that is, God can use anything to talk to you, any situation to talk to you. He has used the donkey to talk to Balaam. He used the bush to talk to Moses. Functioning or malfunctioning even of your car can bring up a message. Am I communicating at all? I have seen God use almost anything to talk to me. I'm at the junction. Traffic, hold up. I'm hearing. I'm looking at the things. Out of what I'm seeing, I'm hearing something. And let me tell you, insight answers to interest. When you become interested, you become insightful. When you are on the lookout for instruction in everyday life, when you are on the lookout that you see, God can use anything to speak to me, you begin to hear at a very high frequency. Insight answers to interest. Then shall you know, if you follow on to know. Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. He's going forth. He's prepared as the morning. And he shall come as the rain. As the latter and the former rain. I used to have a habit in those days. Until I became highly overwhelmed. I carried my pen and paper. And everywhere my eyes are open. My ears are open. And at times before the day is over, I've received about 11 instructions. 12, 13. From the things I am seeing. When we come to the second service, we'll talk about inquiry. Lord, from what I am seeing, what are you saying? What can I hear from this that I have seen? Specific, you are hearing things that loads you with wisdom, that makes decisions of life easy in various areas of life. It's a new day. It is a new day. It is a new day. One key to hearing God frequently is promptness of action. Mark chapter 4, I believe it's in verse 24. And I'll end there. Promptness. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And to you that hear. To you that hear means to you who take serious what you are hearing. And you are carrying out the instructions you are hearing. To those of you shall more be given. God does not tell talk to entertain people. Like we used to say in those days, it's not a talkative. It's not loquacious. It's not trying to talk to prove anything. He does not give instruction to people who are not given to action. When he spoke to Abraham, Abraham departed. So he came again, give me your only child. Before the day could break, Abraham stood up. Abraham broke the day. He received instruction yesterday. Before daybreak, he set out with alacrity. So how won't God talk to him all the time? Many times you are saying, God, you are not talking. You say, I talked to you last time. The last one I said, you did nothing about it. What do you want me to say more? Stand up on your feet. Very brutal. What do you want me to say more? What do you want me to say more? Go on evangelism, you refuse. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and your water. Serve me, you refuse. Raise an altar of sacrifice. You behave as if you didn't hear. Okay, Lord, for the last 5 months I've heard nothing. Say, what else? What next should I say? You have not done biology, you want to study anatomy. You have not done anatomy, you want to study morbid anatomy, histopathology. You have not done histopathology, you want to do forensic medicine. You haven't done biology, you want to do anatomy, you haven't done anatomy, you want to do surgery, general surgery. You have not done general surgery, you want to do neurosurgery. It doesn't work that way. In every language, 1 + 1 = 2. Is there any language where it is 3? Because of the way the language sounds, 1 + 1 = 3. Amen. But this week is going to be a download of hearings in the whole of this convention. And tomorrow night, we are going to have a pre-convention encounter, 5:30 p.m. Yes, take a fast. You can have a 7-hour fast. Anything from 1, you can break your fast. I want us to attack this week. I'm sensing something. Let is a mountain of voices. When they came, let me say they heard voices. And we are going to trust God that will hear voices until you hear your particular voice. The particular voice that you need. Would you lift up your hands everywhere you are? Appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for his word this morning. Appreciate him. Even if it is 10 minutes. Even if it is 10 minutes. I'd like us to take off from that song again. Even if it is 10 minutes. Lift your hands. Say after me, say, Father, I have come before you today. I ask that you open my ears to hear your voice. Open my ears
to my ears
to receive from you.
To receive from
open
you.
Open my ears.
Open my ears
to hear from you.
To hear from
to
you.
To do your will.
To do your will.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and speak to God. Elakopepepepe. Elakopepepepe. Thank you for your word to me today. 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 Let us say the beyond. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.